He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Acts chapter 18, verse 19. He came to Ephesus, left there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Well, we notice he's going into the synagogue. He's going to these places where the people are. The synagogue was like the town square at the time. It's where all the people were. It's where they went for business. It's where they went for, it's where they went to hear their weekly gossip. It's where they went to be with everyone. They went into the synagogue. And now the Apostle Paul and Peter and John, they take this message and they take it to where the people are. Rather than we see someone at Walmart, we think it may be silly. We think, why are you doing those things? When we see someone knocking doors, and we say, oh, that's just a waste of time. Why do that anymore? We see someone trying to do something to carry the gospel into the community. We begin to ridicule them. Why are they doing those things? Well, brethren, we're trying to get to where the people are. If we care enough about souls, if we care enough about the lost, if we care enough about the souls that are going to be sent to a devil's hell someday, we're going to go where the people are. We're going to try to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. The same way that the apostles did. But we notice the gospel was spread into all the world because they went to where the people are. Colossians 1 and verse 23. Paul writes, the gospel was preached in all the world. See, if you build it, they will come. Only works in Hollywood. When it comes to the gospel, it's meant to be taken. It's meant to be preached, as we noticed last time, Romans chapter 10. There's a great need. Ever since, from the beginning of mankind, I suppose, as we looked at last night, God has depended on men to take his message. He depended on the patriarchs. He spoke to them directly. He depended on Moses. He depended on the prophets. He depended upon the apostles. And now, he depends upon us. It depends upon us to take this great message, this good news. Literally, the literal meaning of the word gospel is the good news. Take this gospel into all the world. Take this gospel into all Tate County. Take this gospel into all of Mississippi. Take this gospel into all the world. I could pause there for just a moment and say I'm so thankful that we have missionaries who are willing to go into foreign lands. We're willing to go into all the world to take this precious, precious message into the world. I was told just a moment ago that you've been to New Guinea. You've done a lot of work there. Brother Harold has been to Costa Rica, if I remember correctly. He's preached the gospel in those areas. We have people like Brother Billy Land in Cold Water who's gone, well, just about everywhere, I suppose. And is preaching the gospel there. We're so fortunate to have missionaries who are willing to go to all of these places to preach the gospel, to let others know about the great news. But brethren, are we letting our missionaries go across the seas and outwork us over there while we're not even willing to get out of the house and go knock on our neighbor's door? If they're willing to go so far and work so hard, why are we not willing to do the same? When we don't have to go so far, when we can just go next door, when you go down the street. But take the opportunity, take every opportunity that we have to get this gospel message out. I guarantee you there's someone in your neighborhood that needs to hear this message. I guarantee you there's probably someone in your family that needs to hear this message. They may be members of the church already, but are they faithful? Are they erring members? If they're erring members, they need to hear it again. We know someone who needs to hear the gospel. We need to take it to them. But what was this commission now as we're talking about going? We're talking about going into all the world. What was the commission? Well, the commission was teaching. We examined the passages that we read just a moment ago. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said to go, to teach, to baptize, and then after they baptize, leave them alone because you've done all that you need to do. No. He said, go, teach, baptize, and teach again. Teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. After the Holy Spirit came upon them, this noise of a mighty rushing wind caused the crowd to gather around, and what was the message that they proclaimed? The apostles stood before the crowd of devout Jews from every nation. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, they began to caruso, began to herald, began to proclaim. Things like the word herald, and we think about one who would go into the city maybe before mass communication, one who would stand in the middle of the streets and begin to cry out with a loud voice, "I have important news, you need to listen, everyone pay attention to what I have to say." Is that what we're doing with the gospel? We have the news that the Savior has come and has died for our sins, and we need to be heralding, we need to be proclaiming this great message in our communities, in all the world, in the community here where we live. But after the multitude came together there on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered around, they began to proclaim that Jesus was the Christ. What was the message that they in that sermon that they preached? It was Jesus. It was not the law of Moses. It was not the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was Jesus Christ. And he's come. He's died. He's resurrected. He's now king. He's now sitting at the right hand of God. You're guilty of his death. What's the message that we need to be preaching? Jesus Christ has come. And he's died. He's been resurrected. He's now sitting at the right hand of God. He died for your sins. Your sins drove him to the cross. And now he's given us a way of escape. The apostles, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Only the gospel. Notice what the apostles said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Remember what was said last night? The Baptist handbook, Methodist discipline, the Catholic Catechism, the Book of Quran, the Book of Mormon, all of these things, they are not able to save you. Acts 4, verse 12 tells us that there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. We have a great message because this message that we have is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. The apostles, they knew this great message. They went everywhere. Acts 4, verse 29. We can see again in Acts chapter 5, verses 28 to 29. Acts 5, 28 to 29, verse 4 and 3. They're talking to the Jewish, the Pharisees and those in command. And they said, "Did we not command you, straight to command you, that you should not teach in this name, the name of Jesus? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." See, Peter and John standing there before the high court, and they're saying that you're preaching the name of Jesus, you're preaching it in all of Jerusalem, and now you're wanting to bring his blood on our hands, saying that we're guilty of crucifying him and murdering him. See, they don't want to admit it. There was a stumbling block there, as we talked about last night. Notice what the apostles said. Notice what Peter and John said to them. Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." There's going to come a time, as everybody says, in the United States of America where we may not be able to preach the gospel. When that time comes, what are we going to do? Acts 5, verse 29, "We ought to obey God rather than man." We have a great message that everyone needs to hear, that is, Savior has come to die for our sins. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to keep it to ourselves, or are we going to take it into all the world? The apostles were not preaching the traditions of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were not teaching the philosophy of the Greeks. They were not teaching any fables or traditions, but only speaking a thus saith the Lord. Only speaking book, chapter, and verse, if you will. This is the same pattern that we must follow. Too many today are teaching according to traditions or what is wanted. They're neglecting teaching what is needed. They're neglecting teaching the gospel. Just as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, "You preach tradition. You preach fables. You preach whatever they want to hear. You tickle their ears. know, he said, you preach the word. Brother, that's what we have to do. We have to preach the word because the time is coming, and maybe now it happened. People are keeping up to themselves. Teachers haven't educated. Maybe they are, and they've turned the baby. We're going to seek and to save the lost. The only way we will do this is by teaching of thus saith the Lord, by teaching the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And in the final place this morning, let's notice what this commission did to others. What was it that the commission, what effect did the Great Commission have on others? Throughout the book of Acts, it's recorded time and time again the result of the gospel on an open heart. I said last night we're looking for that good soul. When we have the seed, which is the word of God, we're looking for that great soul. We're looking for that open heart. We talked about how the apostles told those in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost they were guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in Acts 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do, or what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, unto your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What is the result of the preaching of the gospel? It will change people's lives. They will obey the gospel if we preach it correctly. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, the number of them was about 5,000. So there in just a couple of chapters we have the establishment of the Lord's church and 8,000 souls that are added to them. We can notice again Acts chapter 8 and verse 6. Obeying the gospel. I notice very quickly as we go through these verses. Acts 8, verses 36 and 30 through 38. The Ethiopian eunuch, Philip, we talked about him, how he went for one lost soul because he needed to hear the gospel. As they went on their way, they came unto certain water. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Acts 8, 36 to 38. The gospel has the power to convert mankind. Acts 10 and verse 47. What was the effect that Peter had on the household of Cornelius? Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? They were baptized. They were added to the Lord's church. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Paul was talking about his conversion. Ananias teaching him the gospel. And now, why tell you so? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What is the result of preaching the gospel, of teaching the gospel, of carrying out the Great Commission? People will wash away their sins. They will be made whole again. The honest ones that were hearing the preaching of the gospel, they obeyed what they were being taught. They were added to the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. They were all of one accord. They were all given the name Christian, as we see in Acts 11, verse 26. They were given the hope of eternity because they obeyed the commands of the Savior. Their attitude of God, and waited for him to meet them in the air so that they could ever be with him. The commission that was given, the gospel that was preached, had an effect on those that accepted it. Turned the sinner into the saints. If they went from being divided, being Jews and Greeks, being Sadducees and Pharisees, they went from being divided to now being united, now with one accord. They were no longer offenders of the gospel, but now they're the defenders of it and proclaimers of it. What has the commission done to us? Well, we're comfortably in our buildings, waiting for those lost to come and see what we're doing. Or we're wagging our heads, trying to think of ways to go out to evangelize. worried about the Lord's church because no one is being added to it anymore. Are we worried about the ways of the world? Are we going to go into the gospel, into the community, and proclaim the gospel to anyone who's willing to hear? So how can we go out and evangelize? Well, first, we have to preach the gospel. We noticed last night, preach the word. We have to do as we read in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Brethren, we should be teaching our young people as many as we can about the gospel so that they can go out in their time and teach it to others. As a recipient of the salvation that is in Christ, the one being taught the gospel by someone else, we now have a responsibility to take the gospel to whoever or whomever we can. We should not be able or not to be ashamed of the good news that is the gospel. We must preach and teach it to anyone, anywhere we have the opportunity. This may be on a mission trip. We may be able to go on a mission trip. We may be able to go around the world. This may not be on a mission trip, but it may be at a kitchen table. It may be on a street corner. It may be in the front of Walmart. Maybe in front of some local store. We have a great responsibility to seek and save the lost. We should do this any and every way possible, by any means possible. We should be preaching and teaching the gospel. Notice with me, if you will, as we close a few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishly, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We have great power in our hands when we hold the gospel. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Only the gospel has the power to save mankind from their sins. Tradition should not be taught. Our opinions, they do not matter. We want to carry out this commission. The message that we are to preach is the gospel. What will happen when we do this? Well, some will reject us, as we said last time. Many will not want to hear us. Some will listen, but they won't obey the things that they've been told. Some will laugh at us. But some will be added to the Lord's church. Some will have that blessed hope of eternity. Some will be standing before God the Father someday in eternity because of our efforts.